I don't understand why Animaniacs was so focused on Jerry Lewis, as well as Freakazoid, as well. Asswell.
Yep, time to go mine the asswell.
Mickey?
Yes?
Get out the oil pump. And his name is Derek, which is hilarious. Boy's got rhythm.
Oh, I can't put any of that in the cold start.
Podcasts, the final frontier. These are the audio logs of the podcast Superhero Time. Their 5-month mission? Explore old episodes of Star Trek, alienate even more listeners, and boldly plow your mom where no one has come before.
Superhero Time presents That One Episode of Star Trek. With Chris.
That's good, too. I need more Fort Max.
Hey, Mickey. Scott.
They're, like, hacking firewalls and they're stealing our megabits.
And Fort Max.
I've let him touch my books.
So, we weren't actually here last week.
I was.
I wasn't. I was at a barbecue in the neighborhood, and I feel like such shit, because I'm sitting there eating, like, cookout barbecue and, like, baked beans and potato salad and drinking beer and having a good time with all these neighborhood people. And then I think my fiance mentioned, yeah, it's a good Monday. And I was like, Monday, why does that ring a bell? Why do I have this sudden sense of anxiety? And then I was like, oh, shit! Like, fell backwards out of my chair, flailing, scrambling for my cell phone to see what time it was. And it was like 6 o'clock, and I was like, oh, shit! And that's when I see the texts.
And the voicemail.
And the voicemail.
Have 37 missed calls.
The tweet.
I see my money on my checking account being withdrawn. That was a terrible deal I made with you guys.
Yes, but with those garnished wages, I bought lots of toys.
God damn it.
Well, Scott, you wish on a monkey's paw, you can't really complain about what you get in return.
When you wish
I'd
on a monkey's
paw. I'd give anything for fame.
I wish I could relive my childhood all the time. So we missed the podcasting last week, and it was utterly, completely my fault, and I feel like crap for it because I completely spaced on the day. Because usually on holidays, we don't do stuff, but on this one, we decided to.
Since when?
There's other holidays we've missed, like 4th of July and other ones.
Okay, just to clarify, Labor Day is not a holiday. It's a Monday, which I have off anyway, so it's not a holiday.
Look, Labor Day is a bullshit socialist holiday for people with state jobs like you. For real people, it's not a holiday.
I'm only laughing
because I have no comeback to that, because you're absolutely right. And trust me, it was weird for me to have it too. So, like, you're like walking down the street whistling a tune, you see like bank tellers that you know off and send, you're like, hey, wave. Laughing at the people at McDonald's.
Perverse Tex Avery walk where your spine's like a yard behind your feet.
Exactly. Keep on trucking. Yeah.
CCR is playing.
Walking out my back door. Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, but it was enjoyable. But I totally.
Of course, it was enjoyable. You weren't here.
No, I'd rather have been here. It was I like.
Oh,
being
sure.
Here.
If you'd rather have been here, you wouldn't have been at a party,
dude. If I'd have remembered, I would have went. Sorry, guys, I can't make it. I have a thing, but I. It's already like an hour late, and I was like, "Well, there's no point in starting now." Everyone else is going to bed.
Just Fort Max.
Aw. Oh, snuggly.
I mean, I can't speak for Mickey, but I sat up all night, unconsolable.
I just started drinking rubbing alcohol.
No, rubbing alcohol is good. It lets you, you know, wipe away those feelings of neglect and hurt.
Also, you can clean your grungy ball mouse with it, too.
Acetone's good for that, too.
Mm. Oh, gosh.
So, where were we last week?
The original series.
Not here.
Just in time for the 50th anniversary. How timely of us. It's like we totally planned that.
Yes.
No, if we'd planned it, we would have done the proper thing and done animated series for the 50th anniversary. You know, the forgotten Star Trek.
Oh, that reminds me. I watched a fan film. It was like, I think it's called Star Trek Continues. Okay.
If don't watch fan films. They're
but
all...
It was...
No.
I mean, but it was... I've seen one or two, and like the production values were pretty good.
Yeah.
All considered. The acting, not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but the
I've seen better
one...
acting in documentaries.
But I am impressed with the production values they manage.
Yeah, so this particular one is like episode 7 or something, and it was really good. And it was the thing is, what weirded me out was the
Force
actor.
Awakens.
It was better than Force Awakens. The actor they had playing Kirk was spot on. It was weird. He had like the hair. He had like the facial structure. He had the body type. The only problem is his voice was like 2 octaves too high. But his
you know,
mannerisms.
They could take care of that in post production pretty easily.
That's what I was thinking. They could just lower it a little bit. It would have been perfect because he had the inflection, the way he moved his body and paused. It was perfect. I mean, it wasn't a impersonation. It's just I actually forgot that I was watching like a fan film because
so basically
it was
like a Kirk drag queen where if he was just lip syncing everything, you would have been convinced.
it almost his voice was just a little too distracting, but everything else was really neat. And it's one of those things where I forgot that it wasn't a real TOS episode.
Instead, it was just a POS episode.
Oh, snaps!
The shade. So, season 2, episode 14, Wolf in the Fold. I love that. The episode description for Netflix just says, Scotty is suspected of murdering a belly dancer.
Yep.
And really, that's all the setup you need for this, because if that doesn't say, okay, I'm watching the fuck out of this episode,
and like,
nothing will convince you.
It's not like that's an inaccurate description, but it just doesn't even scratch the surface of what this episode really is.
I have to admit, though, I like Hey Mickey's description slightly better.
Which was
Scotty murders a hooker.
Yeah,
that's what belly dancers are. That's what they called them in the 60s.
Oh God!
You know, like how the British call like cigarettes flats or something.
I don't.
And they call and they call
right,
and they call gay people
British
lifts, right?
You're wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, this was kind of a weird episode. One thing I did like about this episode was James Doohan is a hell of an actor.
Is he?
He acted his ass off.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for that.
Did you not? What?
I'm not going to disagree, but I didn't notice any particular impressive acting from him, but maybe I just wasn't really paying attention to him.
I noticed overacting.
Yeah.
He's being accused of murder. Like,
I mean, I guess if he took his scenes of overacting in this episode and spread them out into the whole episode to where they like level off to a normal amount, there would be quite a bit of acting from him.
So, grading acting on a curve is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, if he's in the same room with Shatner, then yes, he's a little low key. But if he's in there with anybody else, he's like, okay, dude, you need to calm the fuck down. I see how this goes. All right. If he's in there with, like, Nick Cage, you wouldn't even know he's in the room. The bees.
So the episode starts off with belly dancers.
I thought Scott was doing the summary.
We'll trade off.
Oh, okay.
We'll tag team it.
I thought our intrepid leader had to start the episode. I'm all confused.
He already started it. That was
like
8.5 minutes
ago.
Oh my god.
What are you timing this? Oh wait, yeah, you are timing this.
To be fair, like these days, there's not much need for me to time it except for the occasional intro quote, but, like, old habits.
Right. Okay, fine. I'll drive if you want me to.
So let's start the episode off with pole dancing. That's a good start.
Well, she's
with about a full solid minute of whoring. And the first line of dialogue is Scotty going, "I think I like this place."
Yeah, I love this because this is late 60s on television, and my God, you can see a belly button, and this is the most titillating thing I have ever seen.
Because they couldn't even do that on I Dream with Jeannie.
Mm-mm. No, which is a damn shame. Our reading was hot. Oh, so hot. So, yeah, so we have Kirk, McCoy, and Scotty, the hedonists of the crew, down on planet Marrakesh. Have him some tapini and...
Planet Red Light.
Yes.
Mm. Look, so, I don't care what you say, this is a completely successful colony. There's free love gangs.
He waited 2 weeks for that joke, y'all.
I did!
So
the dialogue they're having here is just amazing. Like, this is so awesome. You're so great. I can't believe it. This is so great. Awesome. Thank you for this. They're sluts. Oh, God. It's great. Look at them. Oh, boobs.
You have a point, because Kirk is like, yes, it's pretty nice. McCoy's like, man, had better. And then Scotty's like, oh, look, girls. Jesus Christ, there's another one. There's a girl over there. Oh, my God, there's so many girls. Yeah, he's just freaking out. He's like your 18-year-old virgin cousin you took to a strip joint for the first time.
Scotty's an engineer. He went to engineering school. He's done engineering all his life. He's never been around a woman before.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. You ever see him in the same room as her at the same time? Nope.
The only lady he's ever been around was is his ship.
That's yeah.
true. The only one he needs is he can stick his dick in the warp core.
Real ladies have nacelles, boys.
Oh, aye, those nacelles go all the way to the primary hole, if you know what I mean.
I like to fill her Bessard collectors with hydrogen particles.
I like to enrich her dilithium, if you know what I mean. I'm about to restructure my crystals, dang it! Yes, it's just belly dancing and then Montgomery Scott grinning like an idiot for like 10 minutes. Oh, well, so Vessi watched this with me, my fiance watched this, and she was like, oh yeah, look at the exotic plastic skirt she's wearing. She's like, she's wearing cellophane. I'm like, it was the 60s. It was high tech and cool then.
Space grass.
Yeah, which is a little different.
They just
than
went
what
to Party City and bought a luau decoration and wrapped it around her.
Yeah.
So eventually, the stripper finishes her act on the main stage and comes down to give Scotty a lap dance.
Well, first of all, Scotty starts banging on the table like a drunk chimpanzee, and Kirk's like, no, Scotty, we're on this planet. You flicker the lights to applause. And Scotty's like, no, fuck you. I clap however I want. I'm a pub crawler. I know how to applaud. Oh, you dick. That's why they keep him on the bridge instead of letting him go down on away missions.
So, Scotty picks up his trick, and they head out into the night.
Because he's going to show her the beautiful fog on the planet that she's lived on her entire life.
Yes, I noticed that too. And she's so gracious about it. Yes, great. Thank you for mansplaining me what fog is. Although,
have you seen the beautiful hotel rooms they have on your planet? Yes, many times.
And then we find out that this entire thing was McCoy was prescribing Scotty some sex.
Yes.
Yes.
Apparently Scotty was in an explosion, and the cure is to get him laid?
Was it an explosion caused by a woman, which has caused him to loathe all women, somehow?
Is it resent the word they use?
Yeah. Total resentment toward women, a phrase they used several times in succession.
Which was considered normal in the 60s, I think. I mean,
thing, though, is that Scotty never shows any resentment towards women in this episode, except for murdering all the hookers. But
right. But
here in the beginning, he seems to be a big fan. He seems to like the vag.
Oh, aye. Yeah, very strange. Not quite sure which horny nerd, lonely nerd wrote this episode, but man.
Isn't the writing credit in the like beginning of the episode?
I guess, but you expect me to pay attention to that?
No. So, Fort Max, maybe.
Scotty leaves.
Oh, we haven't gotten there yet, because that's after the
open. Oh, yeah, okay.
So when Scotty leaves to go get laid, Kirk and McCoy discuss Scotty's situation. And Kirk's like, you know, across town, I know this place. And McCoy's like, I know just the place. Get your condoms.
There's a Snoop Dogg thing where there's like this whole like roll of them that goes down to the floor.
No, no, you're thinking too contemporary with this. Kirk would turn to McCoy and be like, what do you have in your anti-STD bag?
Just your usual everything.
What do you have in the Argelius kit, McCoy?
I can cure Rooney Day, but I can't cure herpes.
Like fog. It's like a rainy day on the ground.
So, McCoy and Kirk head out to...
Clearly, they'll use the medical transporter, and they just have a huge vat with all the STDs that they've transported out of everyone.
That is the worst thing I have ever heard.
Goddamn, for me.
Jesus.
She's been holding that one in for a while.
Ugh. Oh, my God. What? Did you just think of that?
Yes.
Oh my. So that's what you're saying. It's not actually the warp core. It's actually the small little box in the corner. That big central tube.
No, actually, it makes perfect sense because, like, you know, it's a matter antimatter reaction.
Transporter.
It's a matter antimatter reaction, right? So it doesn't really matter what the matter is. It could be all of Kirk's various STDs fueling the ship.
It does matter.
They didn't have a holodeck yet, so they had to get their matter from somewhere.
Yeah, a squeegee in like the holodeck room they had. That
so they just used the power of HPV versus anti-HPV and just funnel through the lithium crystals.
Oh, well, this episode's gotten weird really quick.
Yeah,
okay,
well,
so back on track here.
We've established this is what happens when we take a week off.
Right.
We've got lots of STD jokes to make.
Yes.
So Kirk and McCoy head out into the beautiful, sexy London fog.
I had a London fog jacket once.
It was neither beautiful nor sexy, and don't delude yourself.
No, it really wasn't. It was like neon green.
So they hear a woman scream and rush around the corner and see Scotty over the body of a dead hooker.
Well, I think you're glossing over a very important point, is that Bones gets to say, she's dead, Jim. Everyone take a drink. All right, drink taken. Moving on.
Okay, we're moving on, so take another drink.
Oh, fuck, okay.
Cursing, another drink.
God damn it, stop. I'm almost out of vodka.
Cursing again.
All right, so I guess we're skipping the credits. Written by Robert Block. Yeah. At least it wasn't
okay,
Richard Block, because it had been Dick Block.
After the credits... Kirk's catching up to speed. He's like, Scotty's suspected of murdering this whore. So we're down there on the planet, and we're trying to get his name cleared, because clearly Scotty was too drunk to kill anybody.
That's pretty usual.
If he stabbed anyone, it would have been with his penis.
Oh, I'm
pretty sure on this planet that's not a crime.
Oh, the way I would have done it, it would have been. Yeah, with a phaser, you can make your own hole.
That's terrible.
Okay, just heads up to everybody. This is a really sexist, horrible anti-woman episode, so the jokes are probably going to go that way.
Oh, come on. Now, it's not like we're watching Is There No Truth in Beauty in Truth in Booty.
Oh, there's definitely Truth in Booty.
We should watch Turnabout Intruder at some point.
So,
if you want a sexist episode, that's the one.
Mm.
Oh, is that the Phoenix Wright crossover episode?
That's the We Don't Let Women Be Captain episode.
Objection. Okay, so.
Yes.
Kirk and McCoy are back down there in the belly dancing lounge because that's the only set they can afford. And they're talking over this shit with Piglet.
Not inaccurate.
Y'all didn't realize that. No, this literally is the voice of Piglet.
Yeah, no, but he actually looks like Piglet, too.
Yeah.
So has anybody taken...
I'm guessing Scott really did not recognize his voice.
Has anybody taken dialogue from this episode and just dubbed it over, you know, Piglet?
Oh. That would be fantastic.
Yes, it would be fantastic.
So, Piglet is Mr. Hingist?
Yes, Hingist.
And apparently he's the head of security for this planet.
Because that makes sense.
Because that makes sense. Yeah. And he responds, you know, that Argilius is the last planet in the galaxy to expect a thing like this to happen. Nobody ever murders whores.
Not Federation. And murder Klingons, that's okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's down here just like kind of questioning. I like the fact that he's just manhandling this knife. I mean, he's just touching it all over, getting his fingerprints all over it, just no gloves.
That's okay. He already took a detailed scan of it, apparently.
I guess.
That's probably important that he gets his fingerprints all over it here in front of them.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
So, the camera pans left, and there's Scotty just watching them talk about him like he's not there.
Yeah. He seems a little spaced out.
He's definitely not entirely there, so.
Yeah. Scotty's got a little bit of a shell shock thing going on. Piglet's asked, is this the knife you used to stab that woman with?
He's like, I don't know. I don't remember.
I do not recall.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Poor Scotty. He gets so crapped on this episode.
They didn't have an O'Brien yet.
This is an O'Brien episode.
He kind of is. He would totally be this guy. Oh, man, that would have been hilarious if they just redid this plot for DS9 and just to see if anybody would notice.
So McCoy says, if Scotty says he can't remember, then he probably can't remember.
Yeah, it's not like our chief engineer would just go around murdering hookers for no reason.
Which leads Kirk into, well, I've got...
And especially since he didn't use the phaser.
On the ship.
Yeah,
the MO is all wrong.
Look, I know Scott. If he was going to murder a bitch, he would be with the phasers from orbit. And trust me, I know Scotty.
All right, so Kirk sort of chimes in with, you know, prime directive. I've got to respect their culture, but this is my friend. What do I do?
Yeah, if anybody in this episode is least conflicted, it's Kirk. He's just like, this is what we're doing. Whatever.
Mr. Kirk says, we're going to give this planet lip service until we're forced to just leave.
Yeah, because apparently this planet's important because there's like a spaceport. The only one in the quadrant is the word they use, which made me cringe.
Well, maybe this planet's like in the beta quadrant. Maybe it's the Federation's first outpost in the beta quadrant.
Oh,
it's just over the state line.
Yeah.
We can buy alcohol and fireworks here.
They're in space, Georgia.
Oh my god. If you hear space, that doesn't claim Bajor. Run.
Oh yeah, Bajor is space, Georgia.
Ugh.
Bajorgia.
Oh. Majoris. Bajorgia Majoris.
Okay, so
what are you doing?
If it answers you, I'll be very surprised.
Is it Luna?
Mm-hmm.
Where's Trigger?
No, probably out in the hallway somewhere.
No, Trigger, not Trooper.
Oh.
You know, Luna, Trigger. Never mind.
In the power chamber.
Oh, God. Okay, so the mayor of the planet is called into the room, too, for the investigation. Looking all Max Sedalis shit.
He is pretty boss-looking, I gotta say.
Yeah. He's boss-looking and also, like, he's got the immediate, obvious vibe of, okay, here's the villain of the episode.
Yeah, he does kind of have that kind of Flash Gordon villain look about him.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And he brings in...
That's not quite a limb.
No, I was going to say, there's not enough yellow face for that.
Okay, no, but I mean, like, the you know, the style of the facial hair, the robes and everything. There is definitely a nefariousness about the design of this.
And next to him is a woman of the most indeterminate age I have ever seen in my life. Is she 50? Is she 15? I have no idea.
That's his wife, Sybil.
Right.
Is she Asian?
Maybe. I mean, space Asian, I guess. I don't know.
Spasian?
That's different from being space Australian.
It's different than being Hispasian.
Oh, anyway, God. So Chancellor Valorum's wife here is an empath, and they're going to use her psychic abilities to figure out what happened.
Because that's admissible in court, I guess.
On their planet.
Yeah. So they're going to use her and a Ouija board to have a seance and find out how Scotty killed this woman.
Right.
So they travel on over to the Arabian set.
Oh, good. They took away all the pillows. Now it looks like a different room. Very nice.
So Kirk offers to beam down a technician with a psycho tricorder.
Which we never hear about ever again.
It sounds awesome, though.
Uh-huh. I imagine it looks like a PKE meter from Ghostbusters.
You'd imagine that,
but it's just crackling with evil psychic energy.
this like, cloud of purple Kirby particles emanating from it?
They have to juice it up in an STD vat on the ship.
Ugh. So Kirk calls up to Spock and tells him to beam that shit down. And like Spock is just like sitting with his legs crossed, leaning back in the chair, like
smoking a cigarette.
I'm watching PBS. Nova is on.
Hey, that's not funny. It's a little funny. So what I understand is his choice of, well, if I'm going to send one down here, there's been a murder of a young woman, so let's send down the youngest, prettiest ensign we have with a psycho tricorder. Psychotrometer. Psychotrometer.
Psychotrometer is just the best thing. Like, I just can't get over how awesome that is.
I don't imagine it has like the little spinny black and white spiral thing that was really popular in the 60s.
Oh, like on Spock Science Station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like that.
I bet it has like little claws that come out and pin the person you're scanning their eyes open like in Clockwork Orange as you psychotricord them.
Oh my god.
It's probably got like a long metal probe that you insert through the ear.
Yes.
Or maybe fires out giant prisoner bubbles to carry people around in.
Okay, so Karen Tracy. She has two feminine names.
And that is the bluest red shirt I have ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
She's a science division red shirt.
She's an intern.
So,
don't leave for a red shirt who dies. She gets a name.
Two names.
And both of them first names.
It's like she's overcompensating for not normally having a name.
And she fully
can't kill me. I've got two names. That's like twice as many names as Kirk.
See, this is the genre savvy lieutenant who knows how this whole thing works. Okay, I'm a nobody. I'm being sent down to the planet when something weird's going on. I better do everything to establish my presence. So she goes and like fully introduces herself to the captain. She like, you know, has dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm perfectly safe now.
She took about 3 inches off her skirt.
No, this is not a Berman episode.
Ooh.
Okay, so.
God, some of the logic in this episode's crazy, though, because Kirk and McCoy are talking now, and Kirk's like, well, you know, under stress, you can just throw out all behaviors out the window. You know, Scotty's capable of anything. Kirk is so quick to just go, well, Scotty probably did it. But, you know, we have to follow the
rules. Yeah, I can totally see him murdering a woman.
Yeah, he just kind of shrugs and is like, you know, whatever.
I think it more is like just Kirk's completely unconcerned with doing anything medical factual at all. But he got hit in the head. Of course his personality could have changed. That makes perfect sense.
Right.
McCoy's like, actually, like, no, it's fine. I know what I'm talking about. Sit down, McCoy.
So Kirk's the hack writer.
Yeah.
I think Kirk is just is in full-on Zap Brannigan here.
Yes. Yes, he is definitely channeling Zap Brannigan. Well, maybe if we throw enough young women at this creature, we'll satiate its hunger for a while. Yes. You know, and it'll leave us alone. Maybe once it's napping, we can snap its neck.
With a judo chop.
It's incorporeal. What did I tell you? Cybo? Is that her name? Cybo?
Sybil.
Yeah.
Cybo.
Anyway, so she enters the scene again and
it goes, hello, I'm Cybo.
You can also read the psychic aura of objects.
So, psychometry. Okay, great.
Cybul is a Esper.
Well done.
Can't wait to see
her. Oh, and in the meantime, Piglet's been sent out to get the other people who left the cafe before the murder.
Yeah, the two shady people. Flat nose and Turkish stereotype.
Oh, but wait, there's a scream, and now there's another dead woman.
Oh, thank God. I was getting kind of bored. My erection started to wane a little bit. I'm so glad there's another dead young lady. Yeah, so they run down to the dungeon, which was down here. Because, why not? And Scotty's
they're on the pleasure planet.
Amen to that.
They have all types there.
Yes, they do.
I just like that Scotty only kills these women in murdery spots like alleyways and dungeons.
Right.
The mood has to be right, you know.
So they give him a little shot of something to wake him up. He looks and he goes, oh, Lieutenant, what's going... Captain, what the fuck are you doing here?
Hey, how did my pants get closed?
And Kirk's just like, you did it again, Scotty. Oh, God damn it. Not again.
You think Scotty would be used to be blacking out and waking up in strange places?
Yeah.
No, I think every time he blacks out, he just wakes up where he was.
Well, right. That's why he spends so much time in Jeffrey's tubes.
But
Scotty!
Yeah,
Scotty!
Gonna say,
wakes
up, it's in engineering.
Yeah. Oh, you're still in the Jeffrey's tube. You're off in there awful early this morning. Oh, sir. Yes, I've been working really hard all night long.
That's how Scotty got his reputation as a miracle worker.
Yeah, he just works all the time.
Oh, well, here comes Piglet with the suspects.
Oh. Well, Deep Voice McGee over there is staring at the flames. Creepy. Okay. So there's another door leading out to the garden. They send McCoy down there to check the lock as if it was picked, because that's something you can do? Okay.
Sure, you use your psycho tricorder.
Damn it.
Set two settings. Mind reading and lock picking.
Of course, when he gives you the readings in this very baritone voice. Okay, so the two guys come in that were there at the bar that left right before Scotty and the hooker did. And like I said, it's Moroccan stereotype number 12. And then it's Flat-Nosed McGee. What the hell's with this guy's face? Seriously, look at this guy's face.
Scott, he's Irish. Don't make fun of him.
No! Look at him! Explain that nose.
Well, I believe it's attached to the front of him. Probably like a snapping procedure.
But only the bottom half, the rest of it's flat flush against his cheeks. The man can't wear glasses.
I think I know what happened.
Huh?
He walked off the set of a Dick Tracy movie.
Yes.
They call him Bridge. Give me a bridge. Why would you guys call me that? I'm very sensitive. All right. Anyway.
Mr. Persian and No Nose are given their excuses. I mean, alibis.
Yeah. I'm the dad. I didn't do it. I loved her. I didn't do it.
Basically, yes. It's very convenient that the two people who left right before she did were both very closely related to her.
Mm-hmm. And at least one of
also,
them had a motive.
You know what? No-Nose is something explained to me, because the reason why he's so weird and upsetting looking is because he's the guy that dates a stripper.
Yeah.
He's the guy who dates a stripper and then is also jealous of, like, the attention she gets for being a stripper.
You know what? That is the most insightful thing I've ever thought about this episode. Seriously,
so of
that's
course,
amazing.
I'm on this, given the planet, I'm isn't pretty much everybody either a stripper or dating a stripper.
Yeah,
you're either a stripper or a musician.
I bet they have stripper musicians. You know, playing instruments they pole dance.
Oh, I would love to see them play a flute.
Yeah, she's playing castanets earlier. Remember?
Yeah. It's on her resume. That's what she tells her parents. But Dad, I'm a musician. You're a stripper. That's all you are. Finger cymbals don't count.
So they're getting ready for the mayor's wife to do her thing, and Kirk calls up to ask Spock, like, is this shit on the level? And Spock's like, huh? Yeah, that's interesting. Whatever. You're interrupting my stories. I need to get back to General Hospital.
Like I said, PBS, there are no commercials. You're just interrupting me.
Maybe it's pledge drive season. I mean, Spock could be, you know, welcoming the interruption.
Right. Because otherwise he's going to watch fat, bloated Jerry Lewis ask for money.
He's already sent away for his tote bag. Now he's ready for his show to come back.
I really want to know if those leopard kids are going to make it.
And either that or he's waiting for the concert footage that they only dig out during pledge drive season.
Okay,
so
there's the first arc of the episode completing right here, because now it's time for the psychic to summon Satan.
Otherwise known as Piglet.
So the seance begins, and she summons the dark forces, monstrous, terrible things, ancient spirits of evil.
Transform this withered form into Mumra the Ever-Living?
Well, bestow your power onto Dora Ripper.
No, I'm going to go with Thundercats on this one for it, Max.
I got a second to Thundercats.
Yeah.
However, the only decayed ancient flesh here is McCoy.
Hey, I heard that.
Bones so the Ever-Living.
So I was 137.
Well, he was the first one to die.
Okay, big hair lady yells out Red Jack, the lights go out, and then the lights come back up with a knife in her back and blood on Scotty's hands as he shoves her to the ground.
And then marks another thing in his belt.
And yet there's still doubt to whether Scotty did this. Kirk's like, I'm not convinced.
They just got him sitting in the chair. The chick's husband is just like
he's
10 feet away from him.
See, Kirk's being genre savvy here. Scotty's the main cast. Of course it's not him.
Kirk's like, I'm not buying it. You've been on the show for 2 years.
As far as I know, these are the first women you've killed.
Is that like one of his lines? Oh, poor Scotty. Sir, I swear to you, did not kill your wife or the other ladies. Oh, man. Yeah, so Mr. Hingis is clearly after Scotty. He just wants a quick resolution of this. It's really obvious.
Well, no, think about it from Hingis' point of view. Like, he lives on this planet where there's no crime, and suddenly he's got this murder case in front of him. It's his one chance to become notable. He's gonna go for it.
Yeah, he's gonna David Caruso the shit out of this.
This is gonna ruin the tourism traffic.
Right, it's all the money they make in the Federation. More hummus for us.
Oh, hummus. I thought you said Hummers.
Well, yes.
Yeah, both at the same time. Why not? They're an open-minded people. So basically, the president of this planet or whatever is just like, oh, well, because this is an ancient crime that we haven't had in 200 years, we'll give you the ancient punishment, which is death by slow torture. Just because. And they keep switching back to Scotty, and I don't know why, but the film quality every time they cut to Scotty is like terrible. Did anybody else notice that?
Yeah, it's very purple.
Yeah, it's like half definition or something. It's like low def.
He's DVD resolution.
He's emitting right. like a drunk field around him.
It's a cloud of bourbon in front of his face.
No, that's just twisty. Anything that gets within a certain proximity just gets like a radiative, you know, state of drunkenness.
God, I would love to hang out with him.
All right, so Kirk convinces everyone else, let's go up to the Enterprise and we'll just let the computer decide for us.
Right, which is everyone's... what they wanted to do to begin with, but they were like, no, we have to stay on the planet to follow the rules until the president or whatever goes, okay, fine, I'll allow it. Let's just figure out what the hell's going on. So they had
following the rules
detector.
Got my wife murdered.
Yeah.
Don't trust your computer.
Fuck the rules!
So they sit down in this chair, this lie detector, with the most high-tech, advanced 23rd century computer I have ever seen in my life.
Although, it does have a headphone jack, so, you know.
Very courageous.
Topical. Wow. Vessi actually busted out laughing when she saw the computer. She laughed when she saw the computer. But it's got blinking lights. And it talks like this.
Compared to what the computers were in that day, though.
The computers actually looked kind of like that back in the day.
Yeah, but they were the size of buildings back then.
That's true. And this one talks to you. The other computers couldn't do that. No, I think it's funny, too.
The Grand Canyon was UNIVAC, right?
Yes. So one thing I do like is this computer is clearly the predecessor to the Enterprise-D computer because it's just as helpful, which is it will lie to you and will answer any of your questions unless you are very, very, very specific.
Yeah.
So they can ask all these questions, but until they look at the computer and go, computer, was that true or not? And it goes, yes, it was. It won't ever offer up information. So the guy could be like lying about anything, but unless they specifically ask about that one sentence the person said... Lame. So Scotty goes and starts telling about, like, oh, when I was dead, I didn't kill her, I swear. I actually tried to save her, but there was something in my way. It was cold and there, but not really there, and... Oh, I'm going for a... I'm
and it
going
smelled
for
like a McDonald's.
Computer, is Scotty telling us bullshit, or is he on the level? Scotty's testimony is tight.
It's legit. It's too legit. Too quit. So they test it.
Everything... I love the Piglet's just chiming in every chance he can with, see, it's not proving anything at all. I was right all along. This is pointless.
Right.
Like, they keep cutting back from just to interject in. No, this is dumb.
Who better? You'll never fit to that hole in the wall.
Oh, dear.
Dude is sporting a wicked pink sunburn on his bald head, too. So he's
Piglet.
Very pig-like. Fucking hilarious. What kind of cruel deity creates a man that looks so much like the character he voices? It's a piglet. He smells like
bacon.
At least
he's not fat.
But Piglet wasn't fat either because he was just a piglet.
Well, that's true.
Uh-huh.
He still smelled like bacon.
Or ham.
Sweaty ham. Okay, so they're going to do the psychotricorder analysis. Oh, Jiminy. Which is what we tried to do on the surface, you know, 30 minutes ago. It's like, will that satisfy you, Hengist? He's like, yeah, whatever, as long as you can prove it's infallible, because, you know, that's the way evidence works. It has to be completely infallible or it's inadmissible.
Well, of course,
I don't know. Like I said, I like this episode because James Doohan does a fantastic job of acting. He actually seems really concerned, and this is he's really chewing the scenery here. I really like it. Everyone else seems like they're just kind of there, but I don't know. I like Scotty's acting in this.
There's a lot of talk in this scene here. It sort of goes in circles, so I'm trying to find where things pick up again.
Right. Well, I'm trying to blather on without any clutter. So Flatnose gets put up there in his little red velvet vest. Oh. God, this guy's just uncomfortable to look at.
And basically the whole, like, thing with him is the dancer was supposed to be his wife, but he was jealous of her, which is very frowned upon in this society.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes him a bad guy, but he's not a killer.
Yeah, he loved her. He was jealous of her. He wanted her for all himself.
Which but the point, aliens like the dad, in the room despise him.
Yeah, the dad pops up and goes, "That's not true. She never loved you. You loved her, but she didn't have anything to do with you, loser. You're not even wearing a fez. Fuck you. How dare you wear that red velvet vest and not have a fez?" So I like the, they had this machine that can it's a lie detector, and they ask the stupidest questions. They ask like two of them. Like, okay, I guess we're done. It's like, no, you could ask so much more. Oh well.
So this basically goes nowhere. And they decide, well, what about dude's dead wife? The one that's dead, because Scotty probably killed her.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Should we bring that up in front of you? He's like, no, it's cool.
Yeah, he is. He's like,
it's arranged marriage.
Dude, I live in a society of free love. I can find another one.
He probably has
she's getting
another
old
one already.
Anyway.
Maybe. I couldn't get. Yeah, you know, maybe get be getting a little old. Possibly.
I think
I don't know if I know.
Too deep.
It's interesting
the chance
to me
that she was old. I didn't want her anymore anyway.
It's interesting to me that like they have marriage on a planet with a culture like this. Since the implication is basically that, yeah, anybody can just go fuck anybody whenever they want and it's not really a big deal.
And jealousy is frowned upon, but marriage exists.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it's like open marriage. I don't know.
Yeah, I assume in this case marriage is either like, you know, for the tax benefits, or it's just a case of, you know, well, I mean, I like you the best, but I'm still going to go fuck all the other people.
Right, right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yes, there is. It's terrible and immoral, and people should be dragged on the street and shot for that.
At least it's not like the marriages on planet Africa.
At least this has nothing to do with that episode.
Somehow I kind of wish it did now.
Ugh. Anyway, so they start talking about what the psychic lady brought up, and like, so was any of that shit she was talking about to the evil specters and Satan himself and Red Jack, did that mean anything?
Kesla and what are they, their magic brato or whatever.
Tesla.
Borat.
Yeah. Very nice.
Tesla, Borat, Red Rum.
Mm. So, again, the computer could have brought all this up before, but Spock has asked us specifically, given our conversation for the last 5 minutes, can you cross-reference and give us anything useful? And he goes, oh, yeah, here it is right here. Jack the Ripper. Oh, well, that was fucking easy. Why didn't we do that earlier?
There's a few jumps there. First, like, can there be any living things that are non-corporeal? Sure. That live by getting off on killing people? Probably.
Yes.
It's kind of like something that's somewhat similar.
Exactly, yeah. It's like, well, there's a precedent, so sure, why not? The computer just has these jumps of logic. You're right.
So is there any historical precedent for somebody who kills women in dark alleyways? Oh, yeah, Jack the Ripper.
Therefore, one equals the other. We're dealing with Jack the Ripper.
In space!
With the voice of Piglet! Oh, bother! So they...
When I first watched this episode, though, when the computer said Jack the Ripper, I about spit out my drink. Because we're going for an episode of, like, Scotty's killing hookers to... No, it was Jack the Ripper all along. What the fuck?
Yep. So Jack the Ripper was this incorporeal alien who took physical form just long enough to kill women to feed on their terror. Yep.
Uh huh.
So there's another species they mentioned by name that lives off of love. That does the same exact thing, but love. But this is like the evil version of that race or something.
It's the Romulan version of that race.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I don't know why.
No, it's not.
I just think of all the clothing. Someone would be wearing an old couch.
Upholstery.
Yeah, upholstered out of the skin of their victims. Ooh, I sat on their nose.
Some people are into that, Scott.
Can't imagine who.
It's you, isn't it?
It might be. Pinocchio had a big effect on my childhood. Tell me lies!
So, it's not like when they identify as
Jack
the Ripper.
Could be.
Oh yeah, they just kind of they make the computer do all the work. Says,
the idea is fucking dumb.
And well,
the killer is right.
It is pretty
in a red
dumb.
Shirt.
Yeah. Highly cohesive magnetic field, and then they start putting the piece together. This is one of those things where you're supposed to kind of like follow it, and they're supposed to show how smart the characters are by piecing it all together. But it comes off as really lame and contrived.
Yes, how smart the characters are when Spock says he preys on women because they're more easily terrified than males.
Oh my God!
And they generate more fear naturally.
Yes, I had to pause that and look at my fiance and go, well, it was the 60s. It was a different time.
Yes, what did she think of this line of thought? What was her impression of this, string of logic?
Who, my fiance?
Yes, I'm actually very curious how she took this.
Oh,
what does a real girl think about Star Trek?
Someone who is not indoctrinated into the stupidity and just kind of accepts it for what it is.
Right, well, just with many eye rolls. With a lot of grace and patience.
And beauty and kindness.
She's behind you right now, isn't she?
No, she isn't. But she was very patient and she was like, really? She was making fun of the way people look, mainly. So it's just
just cruel. They can't help if they're oily. It was the 60s.
Dude can't help if he didn't have a nose. He was just born that way. Like Krillin.
Like... Oh my God, it's Space Krillin.
Oh my God, Goku.
Yeah, this conversation lasts for fucking ever. At this point in this episode, I was thinking, how long do the actors spend on this set doing this scene? Was it like days? Or did they knock it out in an afternoon? Also, I noticed that, so we're in a room with Scotty, who is under heavy suspicion of murdering multiple women at the first chance he gets. Mm-hmm. So, absolutely, let's have an ensign stenographer in here. Who's wearing a red skirt.
And who the camera lingers on for a considerable amount of time.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you got to keep the viewers entertained while all the men are talking about.
Well, I also like that they specifically cut to her while Spock's having his whole speech about, well, women are, a cowardly, superstitious lot.
Yeah, and she's not sitting there like fucking flipping him off.
Oh, no,
like,
you can kind of see on her face. You can kind of see on her face. There's totally going to be an extra little something in his coffee later.
Yeah. I'm going right down to the STD vat. I just kind of rub the lip of the cup right on the nozzle. That's all I'm going to do.
Continuity.
That's the best coffee I've ever had, Ensign. Thank
you. Yeah. This is delicious. Tastes manly for some reason.
Mm. It's the captain's special blend.
And like alcohol.
No, it's the captain's special blend.
So I like this part. So they finally get the computer. They figure out that it's Jack the Ripper, and they go, so the knife, their murder weapon, where is it from? Oh, it's from Rigel 4. And then everybody in the room slowly turns and looks at Hengist. And he's like,
because he's from Rigel.
Yep, he's from Rigel 4.
So he jumps up and tries to bolt out, but Kirk one punches him to the ground.
Not before dude does a console flying drop kick, which is awesome for Piglet.
Yeah.
Yes. Ninja Piglet.
And sadly, he is one planet off from being the rocket cycle racer.
Well, he's also not a Rorza, so... No, but yeah, Kirk does one punch him, and, he just goes down and dies immediately.
Yeah, I like how Kirk's like, I just punched him unconscious, I didn't mean to kill him. Oops.
Saitama.
Kirk tries to play it all modest, like, McCoy's like, he's dead. That's impossible. It couldn't have possibly killed him with one punch.
With one massive
Captain's
punch.
I'm awesome.
Because Kirk coming in his bed later, like with his feet kicked up, going, "Dear Diary, I killed a man with one punch today." So Red Jack the Ripper, turns incorporeal, and then. Even though he can, take over people's bodies, he can also take over computers.
More efficient.
So now he's the ship?
Well, if he's an electromagnetic phenomenon,
Ein, how do brains work? It's electric signals, Ein. Why can't it do a computer as well? So,
yeah, Scott, don't kink shame.
Well, I'm made out of meat. Well, but it's a
totally different type of position. It's like that. It's like trying to drive stick.
Yeah, that's why he's a little bit slow at first.
Yeah, I mean, you got to shift the clutch into the computer to get her going.
Yeah.
Now, I love that Mr. Hengist, who's dead, they put him in a chair and sort of slump him over the table.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no one's going to trip over him that way.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's actually, Fort Max is a good point.
Yeah, that was funny. I guess it's, I'm not really sure why they did that, but oh well. So Kirk and Spock try to go to the bridge. They jump in the turbo lift, try to get it to go, and
in the turbo lift, and first the door tries to cut Spock in half.
Right. Try to separate him into his Vulcan and human halves. And they jump in, and it goes into free fall.
He's been split in twain. Yeah, the turbo lift starts to drop, and so apparently the manual is you just twist the handle, which is, I guess, like a bicycle brake on the chain or something.
So then they eventually make it to the bridge, and everyone's hard at work trying to lock the entity out of the computers by changing them over to manual control.
If only they had Data here, he could have got done instantly. Sulu chimes in with, what's going on? Shut up, Sulu. Man your post.
Right, yeah. It's like, okay. Alrighty.
Yeah, that's one interesting part of the episode. Outside of, like, the people in the briefing room, nobody else gets to find out what's going on the entire episode.
Mm-mm.
They just get doped up.
Well, that's, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to ask any questions. If I go to work one day and they're like, all right, everyone's getting high, I'm not going to ask questions either.
Captain.
Since Red Jack wants to cause terror, Kirk and McCoy's plan is we're just going to dope everyone up on diazepam or something. And we'll just be totally mellow and chill.
And in control of a massive starship.
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, it was the 60s. Better living through chemistry.
Many times the speed of light.
Not while they're in orbit.
I don't know, man. It feels like it when they're high. So, like, Kirk tries to reason with us. Like, if you destroy the ship, you destroy yourself. And he just laughs at him. He seems annoyed. He's like, God damn it, usually that works. Do you have any idea how many computers I've talked to death?
But, Kirk, this isn't the real computer. This is just something inhabiting the computer.
God, I can't punch it, and I can't fuck it. I don't know what to do.
If only I could punch it once.
That's all I need. I can kill a man with one fist. So Red Jack is
well,
just like...
Well, that explains the toupee.
Ooh. Oh, and we do get... This is the famous scene, though, where we do get to see Sulu the moment he turns gay. So they inject him in the arm. He just kind of...
Yeah, you can tell.
The only reason I say that is because that's an animated GIF I saw elsewhere on the internet, so I didn't come up with that, so... Don't send me any hate letters on that.
No, send him hate letters. I'll put his home address at the end of the episode.
Damn it.
And his phone number.
Did you stop doing that, guys? Keep having to delete it from the internet.
Just like the Beyonce photo.
Yep. Which no one ever sees anymore, ever.
Now, I love High Sulu.
Oh, yeah, High Sulu's the best.
Because he is just chewing being... fucking high.
You can tell he has some experience.
Yeah. Or he has zero experience at all, and he's just guessing. Like, you know, honestly, I've never seen anyone on marijuana look that fucking high. So it's sort of wiggling.
There was one time in Nick's basement, I don't know if you were there, but Sam and Nick got high as hell, and boy, they were just puddles. It was funny. Nobody knows who that is.
I know.
You know who that is. You know. Yeah, you know. So they go back down.
And Spock leave the bridge, and Sulu spins in his chair in circles, because that is rad if you're high or sober.
You know, I bet being high in zero G would be awesome.
Or Barfy.
Being 0G could be Barfy in any case, though.
That's true.
And then if you barf, you just choke on it and die.
Because remember, weightlessness makes Worf queasy.
That's right, he doesn't like 0G.
And he smells like lilacs.
Like prune juice. So, Spock and Kirk head back down to the conference room, where everyone's tripping balls.
Oh, no, but first, Kirk comes up with a plan to keep the computer locked up.
Oh, yeah, that's so dumb. Was it Spock or Kirk that came up with that?
Well, Kirk's like, so Spock, you have this compulsory directive module in the computer, right?
Oh, yeah. So Spock goes, computer, calculate the final value of pi. Working. And then, yeah, it's like, do it command code A, which is like, do that above all else. So now the computer is going to be calculating pi forever and starts taking over more and more systems of the ship. And it'll keep doing that until they tell it to stop. So that's how they lock Red Jack out of the systems. How that doesn't turn off life support and attitude control and everything else, I have no idea.
I think maybe it will if it goes on long enough. Probably it's like a priority of shit it pulls computing power away from.
Probably. Oh, well.
So then... What can we take over next? horticulture? Sure, why not?
No! So they head back down to the conference room. Everyone's tripping balls.
Horticulture? You mean Argelius?
Ooh.
Oh. No, I'm talking about silicon-based life forms. Horticulture.
Oh.
Rouse roundabout. Yeah. So everyone's doped up down there except for the president and McCoy. And McCoy's like, no, I feel fine. I should keep a clear head. And Kirk's like, no, you need to do it too. And he outlined the look of Kirk, that secret joy on McCoy's face. Is like, oh, fuck yeah. It's about time I got to sample my own goods. Oh, yeah, that's the stuff.
McCoy's ethics are satisfied. He was ordered to dope up.
Yep. Yeah, he really protested too, you notice?
Yeah. Yeah, he fought hard against that order.
Yeah.
So, I always kind of imagine that McCoy's always kind of lit on alcohol anyway. Like he's a functional alcoholic, unlike Scotty.
And he hides it, unlike Scotty.
Yeah.
he's more refined about it.
Yeah.
All right. So there's
one place
person...
left for the Jack the Ripper to go, and that's in Chancellor Valorum.
Mm-hmm. Who tries to attack Kirk and is immediately Vulcan nerve pinched by Spock. Hmm. So the camera pans over to Hingis's dead body, which jumps up and grabs the female lieutenant, puts a knife to her throat, grabs her boobs, and she starts giggling. Now, here's what I don't understand about this scene. He has her as a perfect hostage. They go towards him, so he throws his hostage at them.
It was a bluff anyway. I mean, either he's going to kill her and then not have anybody to terrorize anymore, and they're going to get him anyway, or... He can throw her and maybe get a chance to get out.
And plus, even if he kills her, she's not going to be terrorized because she's high.
Okay, that's a fair point. That's a good point. But he can still use her as leverage to get to a shuttlecraft and get the fuck out of there.
Except he didn't count on, like, drunk McCoy and everybody just coming at him anyway.
Laughing.
Yeah. He wasn't really prepared for this.
He's like, this shit's fucking creepy, I'm out.
Yeah. Kirk does the most awesome judo move. Grabs him by the arm, flips him around to his back. It was awesome. To which they get him on the ground, Spock pumps him full of happy juice, and they carry him down to the transporter pad. I'm like, oh, so they're gonna like...
And oh my god, what happens next?
Yeah, so they're gonna like put him in jail or something, or try to contain him somehow.
We will spread
his atoms.
The ship, spread out as much as possible.
You know that thing McCoy's always afraid is going to happen when
he
transports?
Can't die. And since the creature is immortal, he'll individual atoms until the energy eventually leaves his remains.
Yeah, at the end
Jesus
of the episode.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's what they say. It's like, well, what, isn't it immortal? It's like, well, it's spread out over all this space. It's harmless, and it will eventually
die. We didn't technically
die.
Kill him.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it was important for them to establish earlier in the episode, Hengist was already dead, so they're not actually killing a person.
Yeah, well, I hope his family didn't want the body back.
he probably killed his family already.
I guess. Jeez. All right. And so
what I love this horrifying ending is that they're all amused by it.
Yeah, I know, because they're all high.
And you can argue that's because they're high, but we know that's not really the case. They would have been laughing onto a freeze frame anyway.
Yes, because Kirk would have cracked a joke. And McCoy wouldn't have thought it's funny, but he would have sucked up just like Scotty. Oh, hey, that's a really good one, Captain. Ha, ha, ha. Wanker. So, yeah, I like how Kirk's bragging now. He's like, yeah, now we got the happiest crew in space. So for the next 5 or 6 hours, let's just fuck off.
Until we come down.
Yeah. So in the meantime, since everyone's high up here, I'm going to leave all you drunk idiots on my starship. Well, I'm going to go down and get laid on the planet. Spock, do you want to go with me? Oh, right. Never mind. Fuck you. I guess I'll go by myself.
Well, then he's like, by myself?
Yeah, it's so much more fun. So much more fun when I get to Eiffel Tower, a woman.
Kirk wants an audience.
Yes. Yes.
And he's not going to take any of the drunkards with him.
Mm-mm. So he takes Scotty.
See, what they don't know is Scotty's going to be fine in like an hour because his body can metabolize that fast now.
Scotty's just also been faking the whole time.
Yeah. Also, these episodes have all the new special effects for the interstitial scenes with the ship shots and everything. It looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
Love it.
As always.
Yeah, yeah. Love that shit. All right. Well, there we go. Wolf in the Fold.
What a weird episode.
It's so insane. Like, it would be really boring if, like, every 20 minutes it didn't do something completely batshit crazy.
But it does.
We start off with murdering a hooker. Awesome. Then it goes into, like, 20 minutes of deliberation. Starting to get lame. It's Jack Ripper. Fucking mind blown. More talking. The crew's on drugs!
More talking. We heard... Horrible we murder. Totally... Yeah.
Oh, that is pretty brilliant. Yeah, no, that's a completely valid point. Yeah, this was a very weird, uneven episode. What a weird thing to think that the crew of the Star Trek... That the Starfleet Enterprise killed Jack the Ripper in space? What?
Who was made of piglet? This episode is just... Oh, it's a treasure trove.
Yeah, how high did you have to be to watch this episode and be like, yep, that was good. All right, well, what's for dinner? You know? Wait, what the fuck just happened? So, yeah, it's going to take me a while to get rid of the fact that Piglet is Jack the Ripper. I think that's really the takeaway here. Oh, well, yep. I don't have anything else for this episode. It's the fact that... And plus, because Scotty was, like, drunk at the end, we didn't even get to see any resolution for him. Because, really, this was a Scotty episode to begin with. But he was just a prop.
Yeah.
You know,
to be fair, awesome. All original series episodes, all the side characters are just props for the main three.
Yeah.
It's a shame because Scotty's so much a better captain than Kirk ever was. Oh, well.
Maybe it's just me, but whenever I see original series Scotty, it's not really Scotty to me. Scotty, for me, is always movies, fat mustache Scotty.
Really?
Yeah, like that's the Scotty I picture as being the default Scotty. Young Scotty is just like, I know it's the same actor, but he doesn't look right.
Yeah, he looks so different. I agree. He does look very different. I mean, with the weight and the mustache and yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, Shatner looks hugely different between original series and the movies too, but...
That's mostly the perm.
Perm and skin texture. He's a lot more weathered.
Yeah, less makeup. Jeez.
But I still register both of them as being Kirk, being like equally valid.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But 60s Scotty just seems like a knockoff to me, even though I know it's the same dude.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. Right,
60s Scotty also looks like a much older person, like, dyeing their hair dark.
Maybe his hair looks just so fake. It's so black.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, once he starts putting on weight in the movies and, you know, his skin kind of fills out, he actually looks a little bit younger than he did before, even if his hair is lightening.
Sort of a Sean Connery type of thing?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Oh, by the way, where was Uhura in this episode? Was she even on the bridge?
I don't think she was in this episode.
Nor was Chekhov, but no, he didn't come in until later, right?
He was there early season two, I think.
He's in the next episode, which is Tribbles.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I don't remember seeing Uhura. Damn it. You see, that's one of the things I wish Uhura would have come down and fucking figured this shit out and said, oh no, you son of a bitch, you ain't killing me. And just
Scotty's murdering women. I'm appearing in this episode.
Yeah. No, she's been down in Argelius the whole time.
That's where she learned her alluring fan dance.
Oh my god. That's. Oh my god, everything makes sense now. Wow.
All right, so what's up for next week?
Animated series?
Sounds good. What's next on the list?
You've been the one curating that, so...
Well, I don't feel like leaning forward to bring up Wikipedia to look at the episode list, so someone else look at it and find what's the next episode we haven't watched.
Okay, I'm going.
But, Scott, do you even remember what episodes we have watched?
Netflix will.
Yeah. That's I don't true. Need to think. I have a computer.
13 and 14 of season 1?
Sure.
Wait, do we do... Yeah, we did that one. Yeah, so I guess that's next on the list. So, the ambergris element and the slaver weapon.
The hamburger element, yes.
Ooh. Sounds good to me.
Precious hamburgers.
But damn when it. Do we get to the shaving cream, Adam?
Aluminium Fosdex?
Yes. Yeah.
It's alarmingly low. Oh my God.
What is going on right now?
I can't believe you don't know Duck Dodgers by heart.
No, I don't. So, yeah, ambergris.
What kind of horrible asshole are you?
Scott, you're a disappointment.
Oh, you know what kind of a horrible asshole I am. All right, so 12 and 13, that's what we're doing?
That was 13 and 14.
Okay, well, Netflix is 12, 13 for some reason. Oh, well.
Ambergris element and the slaver weapon.
Gotcha.
That's we're gonna whip, right?
What?
That's a whip, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
That's hot.
A whip or maybe a hot iron.
Where there's a whip, there's a way.
We don't want to go to war today. All right, so was the extra week wait worth it?
Nope.
No, I think it would have been better last week.
Why? What would the timing matter?
It was more fresh then.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, see, I watched it last night, so it was still fresh to me. And it was still a little boring.
You're just a little weird. Boring.
Just weird.
Weird is good, though.
Yeah,
but weird. Weird okay, has so... Kirk and company killed Jack the Ripper in the future.
Yes. But as Hey Mickey said, it's just so uneven.
It's not really a good episode, but it's such a remarkable episode.
It's not a good episode in maybe the objective sense, but it's a good episode in that it's really entertaining.
Yeah. It's certainly memorable for parts. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I mean, I remember reading other things that, you know, the crew of the Enterprise killed Jack the Ripper, who was a space ghost.
Coast to coast.
Yeah.
I feel like Wednesday every day.
And Zorak. Yeah. All right, so we got animated series. That should be good. Mm-hmm. So have you guys started following on Twitter the Swear Trek?
No, I don't care
follow
for that.
It, but okay. I don't see retweets every now. It's occasionally funny.
Yeah, it's very occasionally.
Funny. Okay. Well, it just takes, you know, these little clips from generally animated series and then puts little text blurbs under them to make
it
them
is,
funny.
I believe, from the same person who runs Bat Labels.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Batman 66 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, well, that was pretty funny. I actually don't follow them, but they keep popping up. So, I kind of like I already see it just enough.
I've looked at their Twitter. I'm not really impressed with most of the humor.
Mm.
Yeah, a lot of it just falls flat.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, we're cursing, but there's no impact to it.
Right.
Right,
it's like when I curse, just... constantly because I don't have any words to say.
Yeah, I know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, I use fuck instead of
I can't wait for you to do an acceptance speech one day. Fuck. Ah, you guys are going to do all right. Fuck.
I'm just going to get up there. I'm just going to thank God.
He's going to go, don't bring me into this asshole.
No, I had nothing to do with you.
Yeah. Pretty sure I even wrote it down somewhere.
Somewhere Satan's going, hey, that motherfucker left me out.
Yeah.
Animated series, let's skip Next Gen.
Since we did, like, we just did, you know, 4 weeks
of Next Gen. Yeah.
Sure.
And then DS9 after that.
Yeah, I agree.
But no Voyager.
No Voyager.
Never again.
Aw.
Until we end the podcast.
Unless Ken comes back.
There's still so many more to do.
Yeah, I know.
We could actually do Year of Hell.
Or we could not.
No, I've watched Year of Hell somewhat recently because I'd never seen it before. And yeah. I thought that I should. Mm-hmm. And it's not that great.
No, it's not.
I wasn't claiming that it was great.
The problem with Year of Hell is that it's a two-parter and it doesn't need to be a two-parter.
Ah.
It would require a lot of time to discuss because...
Well, it could be a two-parter, but it has to be structured a lot differently than what it was. Like, you wouldn't get any of the Chakotay on the Krenim ship until the second part. You know, you would just engage in the Year of Hell in the first part, have Chakotay be lost in the first, like, 20 minutes, I guess, and then, you know, everything going on without him trying to adjust until you find out the second part, oh, he's over there and is still alive, and, you know...
I mean,
kind of change the point of view
does
to
have
that.
Some interesting things in it, specifically the passage of a lot of time in one episode, basically, of just kind of like day 73, day 142.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's clever enough. But the rest of the episode feels like it's wasting time.
Which is ironic, considering the premise of the episode.
Yeah.
My cat just clawed my knee for some reason. God damn it, that hurt. What did you do?
Food?
I'm starving to death. Oh. Fuck you, man.
Sounds like Mickey's cat.
He's not starving. He ate a whole chicken breast tonight.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, so did I, but I'm not a cat.
Yeah.
Are you sure? I don't know. Imagine XP as a giant anthropomorphic cat with a headset. He's all black and white with a black patch over one eye, you know?
No, I'd be orange.
Oh, you'd be an orange tabby cat?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be Garfield. You love lasagna and you hate Mondays because of the podcast.
It's true.
Yeah.
You do hate Mondays. Oh, fuck. Gonna do a podcast again.
I do like lasagna.
Are you owned by a man named John?
Listen, what I do in my off hours is none of your business.
Not a man named John, just a John.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going with that. Thank you. Yes, a John, exactly. Oh, man. So how are you enjoying Star Trek Online on the PS4?
It's good.
Good.
In some ways, it's better than on PC. In some ways, it's not.
Sure, I can understand that. Yeah, some of the old episodes and content, they kind of cut. Because I recently, you know, played a new character from start to finish. And there's a lot of episodes like, I remember this shit being a lot longer and a lot more boring. But it really is kind of snappy now. It moves you along through the episodes pretty quick.
I like that basically it's you gain a level every episode.
Yeah. You gain up pretty quick. One of the things they did remove is that the... I think it's the son of the alternate Riker that was created in that transporter incident.
Yeah.
You meet him, the son of that Riker.
Thomas Riker.
Yeah, the son of Thomas Riker. I think it's Joshua Riker. You meet him, you bust him out of this Cardassian jail, and in this Cardassian thing, there's these giant turrets that shoot like phaser and plasma bolts and everything. Because he doesn't have a weapon, the character runs up and punches them. And he was just joking that Joshua Riker was like Saitama. He could just one punch anything. Old Rocket Punch Riker, we called him. But unfortunately, they removed that before it went to PS4.
But they added in the whole storyline about Morale Paris, which is kind of interesting.
Oh, about her being the Kavu Mog or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, her being like the whole reason the Klingons and came back from their genetic thing, and yeah.
It was a nice tie together between Voyager, Enterprise, and I guess that one DS9 episode.
Yeah. That's one thing I do like about the way STO, they really do a really good job of filling in the gaps and continuing stories and going, oh, that's what happened with this, or oh, here's the background.
You who also does a great job of filling in the gaps? Your mom.
Actually, a lot of people are really good at filling in her gaps. It's actually the way it usually works.
That's what I just said.
Oh. I was going to have a point, but you made a dumb joke and I lost it. Dick. Oh, well. I think I'm about spent. I think I've said all I can say about this fucking episode.
Well, we can't leave right now because XV just went away.
Oh, okay. I guess we'll just fucking keep talking.